May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, with all the activity surrounding Sycamore Commons that has been happening recently and the vegetable garden plot at the back, it felt like a walk in the church grounds to come to this gospel reading this week and find Jesus with the parable of the landowner and the vineyard. I know that when we read parables, we often want to identify with a particular group or a particular person, and that's the goal of them. And so we probably want to identify with those who arrived first and worked really hard for the landowner, because the landowner is meant to represent God. But I was actually talking with a friend this week and said, no, I'd like to be in the group that gets in there at 5 o'clock, because that just sounds great. Sleep in and then go late. But I think in situations of work over our careers, each of us has had moments where we've thought, well, crikey, that's not fair. Why should this person who has not worked as hard as me do as well as me? And I think that's a really natural thing. But we meet Jesus today. He's on a roll talking about economics. He has just finished dealing with the young rich ruler who wanted to know what he had to do to get into heaven, and he's told to go sell all his possessions and goes away sad. And he turns to the disciples and said, it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to make it into heaven. And instantly, anybody who has a bit of cash feels like super uncomfortable. So Jesus is challenging everybody. And he talks about money more than anything else in the Gospels, probably because it's the thing that has a tendency to corrupt human beings the most. Because when it comes to temptation, the temptation to just make a little more is so easy to be drawn to. We always could do with a little more. I think that's true of most people. I mean, how many of us have imagined what we would do with a lottery win? Sometimes I'm like genuinely disappointed if I check a lottery ticket and I didn't win, because I've already spent it. It's crushing every time I go into the Shell garage. And when someone that we deem who might be undeserving, perhaps it's someone who gets promoted ahead of us, or someone who takes more breaks than we do, does better than us, we all have this feeling of like, oh God, it's so unfair. And we learn this as children. No one has a stronger sense of justice than young siblings. I bet Winnie and David know the difference between what's fair and what's not when it comes to each other, right? That's not fair. However, this parable is actually not about what is fair in the way that we think of it. It's about justice in the kingdom of heaven. So a denarii was a day's wage, as we hear, a living wage that provided enough just to get through to the next day. The vineyard is meant to represent Israel, and the landowner is God. So Jesus is calling the people of Israel who he's preaching to. Remember, Matthew's gospel is mostly preached to largely Jewish community, back to a committed way of living and working with God, the one that he taught us to call Father and pray, give us this day our daily bread. Give us enough, Lord. Give us what we need. So Jesus is describing God's vision of equality in the kingdom of heaven, where everybody has enough to get by. Everybody is all right. Everyone has enough for them and their families to eat. Everybody has shelter. And honestly, the world produces enough for everybody to have enough several times over, right? I fell into a wormhole, as you know, that I am prone to do with Google this week. And this week it was on living wages, because I feel like that is something that fluctuates a lot. And it turns out that the Sunshine Coast living wage as of last year was just over $23 an hour. And I've heard as high as 24 or even 26 for Powell River. Like, that's a living wage. So that means that you have enough to get by. It's not about having savings and holidays. It's like you can pay your rent, you can feed your family. This is what a living wage is. So that means that there is a $6.58 an hour difference between the minimum wage and the Sunshine Coast wage, which is interesting when you consider that the majority of the employment on the Sunshine Coast is retail and hospitality, and that pays the minimum wage. So that means, then I got a calculator out, because obviously I was in the wormhole by this point, that means that if you're making minimum wage, you're short $263 a week. And I don't know about you, I went shopping this weekend. We had to get groceries. There was nothing like truly outlandish in it, although I do buy British cheese, you know, which is like $14 for a piece this big, but that's like my guilty pleasure. And I spent $200 and I walked out with like just about two bags of groceries. So $263 a week is maybe 2.5 bags of groceries. And I've only got to feed me and one other person. So I can't imagine, like, if you're trying to feed a family, not having that amount of money. So the wormhole continued, right? Because I'm seeking justice in the kingdom of heaven and trying to figure out what that looks like today. And it turns out Stats Canada has reported a 41-year high in food cost inflation. And you're probably wondering where this is going. Well, I'm still going. I'm in the hole. And it turns out that grain-based products, so basics like bread, pizza dough, flour, have gone up over 25%. And I know so many of you have felt this when you go to the grocery store, because so many of us are on a fixed income these days. But the thing that really struck me and made me sad was that Stats Canada was sort of talking emergency in the way that statisticians do, so very calmly. And they were basically saying that 20% of Canadians will use a community-based food program this year. So we're heading towards a quarter of people in our community not having enough to eat. And when we have such a large population of children and seniors here, I just kind of felt a bit sick about this. So I spent a lot of time just like wandering around in the garden this Thursday and sort of checking things out and looking at all this space we have and thinking about this vineyard, you know, and how this parable might speak to us today. So I started to get a bit overwhelmed. I'd climbed out of the internet and into the garden, and I was just thinking, crikey, we've got wars. We've had COVID, we have climate change affecting farmers' ability to keep costs down by like open grazing and this kind of thing. And I just felt very overwhelmed by it. And I know that that is something that's shared with a lot of people. And I thought, what possible difference can, you know, one person make? And then I thought, Lucy, don't be so vain. There's like 50 of you here on Sundays, so you actually don't have to do it all. And I was like, woof, okay. So what possible difference can a small church in a small town make? And I think we only have to glance a short time back to when Sycamore Commons was first installed here and see the community goodwill for this permaculture garden and the food forest and the way that food brings people together and the way that growing food brings people together. So I just want to continue to encourage you in pursuing this ministry hard, because it's only going to get harder for people who are not getting a living wage in our community. And so you might think, oh, you know, growing a few squash or growing a few potatoes, what possible difference is that going to make? It's going to make a difference to someone. And if this is our vineyard, we have to keep going to work. So then I thought, okay, well, I better get a bit more theological and actually go back to the parable and stop looking at Stats Canada. So I started asking myself, okay, in God's kingdom, what is God doing? Like, how is God helping us out with this? Because I feel like we need a lot of help. And I noticed that the vineyard owner just repeatedly keeps going back to the market to look for more people. You know, and I was like, is he just trying to get his steps in and hit 10,000 steps? Because, you know, I do stuff like that. I take extra trips out to the shed when I, you know, could carry everything at once. But no, this landowner, this God of Israel keeps going, keeps returning to God's people and saying, hey, what are you doing? Like, come with me, you know, come and be part of this thing. Step into this vineyard, come back to me. And keeps inviting people. And then at the end of it, everybody receives the same amount, which I can understand why the people who turned up at 6 a.m. might feel a little sore about that. But Jesus is speaking to this largely Jewish audience, and these are the same people whose ancestors were led out of the land of Egypt and provided for, as we heard in that Exodus reading that Gareth read for us this morning. And we notice in that reading that at the time when they were escaping from Egypt and Pharaoh was getting drowned and, you know, everyone was sort of marching through the Red Sea, they were really happy about this rescue and getting out from underneath the Egyptians, right? They're enjoying that special relationship of being God's people. And then we hear that actually the reality of having to depend on God in the wilderness was pretty hard to take, and they were not very happy because they're hungry and, you know, kind of upset with Moses about the basics of living and having to give up control and depend on God again. And I think that is something that's really hard for us as well. Like, it's really hard, especially in an interim period like we're in right now, where we're deciding what comes for the future, to figure out, okay, what are we actually going to trust God with? You know, and again, I just want to encourage you, keep trusting God with the projects that have come up, like, you know, reinventing Sunday school and also, you know, the garden. Like, keep trusting God with those things because God is always following through. Now, I think when we want to be in control, we have a tendency to turn to God and ask, why did you do that? That's so unfair. Like the workers who work the full day. But that's because God's grace makes no sense to us. I think if you've been a parent of several children, you might have a better idea than those of us who are childless. But I think we are conditioned to earn what we have and build status in our society. And that's how we value each other, by our output. And humans are not machines, and we're not supposed to generate output. We're supposed to imitate our Creator. So in the kingdom of heaven, it's hard for us to realize there is no status. There is us as equally loved children of God. So as a church, we could choose to grumble about what we don't have. We could choose to look at financials and say, oh, we're behind on our offerings again, or we don't always have enough people, or gosh, this garden project is overwhelming, or, you know, when are we going to have more kids in Sunday school? We could focus on what we don't have, but what is God doing? God just keeps inviting us back again, and even if we have days when we're like, oh, I don't want to go do that today, God will find you in the marketplace at 5 p.m. and be like, hey, what are you doing here? Get your in my vineyard, like now. Okay, so I think what we're being instructed to do by Jesus here is maybe to count our blessings and keep accepting the offer of work that God keeps extending, because it is always there. It is always there with that love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. That daily bread is always there for us, but it's for some people in our community, they're struggling to get their daily bread. But there are 50 of us who help each other all the time. Like, I know this. I know that there is so much happening during the week between friends and the support that you offer one another and, you know, the love that you have for each other. So let's splash out and push it beyond the walls of the vineyard that we have. We're here. This is the place we find ourselves, and there's plenty to do. And the people who join us along the way, they will receive the same love, grace, and mercy that God has given to us, whether they join us for a short time, for a very specific reason, for an entire growing season, or for a lifetime. The grace that God offers to them will be the same as what is offered to those of us who were baptized into the Anglican Church or to any church and have lived it our whole lives. And it doesn't matter how regularly you get to church, God is always inviting. So we don't need to get caught up with comparing ourselves or deciding what's fair or what would be ideal even on who's been here the longest, on how long we've been doing something a certain way. All we need to do is give thanks for this vineyard that God has given us and blessed us with, and listen for God's invitation to keep working in it. Because we're in this time and place, and we're called to do this work without any thought of reward. It's not about getting to heaven. It's about being here in the now, in the present with God. I've totally lost my place, and we're in like the last paragraph, so I can't believe this just happened. So I think what I want to encourage you, St. David's and St. Paul's, because we are still in an interim period, and it can be easy to forget that, especially with Christmas coming and the end of summer and, you know, all the great things that are happening in all our lives. Keep searching for where God is calling this church. Keep accepting the invite to come and work together in the vineyard, because God's kingdom is going to flourish here, is already flourishing here, and has a history of flourishing here. And a couple of years of pandemic is not going to stop God, and it's certainly not going to stop the people here. So if we keep accepting that invite, I truly believe that not only will we share in God's abundance, we will be able to celebrate having more than enough and just keep giving it away. Amen.